Praise God. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit in this series. Amen. We've talked so far about the working of miracles. Amen. That's when God suspends the laws of nature and moves contrary to the laws of nature. Actually, when the working of miracles are in operation, it's a human being performing the miracle through power that's been on loan from God, that's been loaned to them from God. Amen? I'm telling you, just in case you think you didn't hear me right, that when the working of miracles, and there is no gift of miracles, we've heard it called the gift of miracles, we should call it what the Bible calls it. Amen? If the Bible specifically gives something a name, we should say what the Holy Spirit says about it. It is the working of miracles. It is not the gift of miracles. It's the working of miracles, and it's called the working of miracles because when it's in operation, it's a human being working a miracle through power on loan from God. Amen? The human being. Just like Elisha took Elijah's cloak and rolled it up and smote the River Jordan. He did it. And the water separated. He walked across to the other side. Amen? He did it. Amen. We've also talked about the gifts of healings. And we saw that it's not the gift of healing. Even though you hear people say Benny Hinn has the gift of healing. I've heard that said. And Benny Hinn will be the first one to tell you, no, I don't have the gift of healing. There is no gift of healing. It is the gifts of healings, get this down, plural, amen? There's multiple healing gifts. Different people operate in different healing gifts, those who operate in the gifts of healing. Some people can open blind eyes, but they can't open deaf ears. Some people can open deaf ears, but they can't open blind eyes. Some people have an anointing for cancers and tumors, but they can't do a thing for the deaf. Some people can have an anointing for skin diseases, for vital organs, and different problems such as that, but they couldn't help you with tumors and growths if you held a gun to their head. Amen? Only Jesus was anointed without measure and operated in all the power gifts all the time. Only Jesus, the Bible says in John 3:34, was anointed without measure. We share the anointing that was on Jesus' life corporately as a body worldwide. That's how Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do also, John 14:12. Amen? You've never known of anybody, ever heard of anybody who ever operated in gifts of healings, working in miracles, the gift of faith, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation the way that Jesus did. Amen? Well, Jesus, we don't have any indication of Jesus ever praying in tongues or interpreting. Amen? He didn't have to. He knew how to pray all the time. Amen? The Holy Ghost is to help us to pray. Paul told the Romans, we know not how to pray as we ought. So we let the Holy Spirit pray through us. And he's always praying according to the perfect will of God. Jesus always knew how to pray the perfect will of God. Amen? We don't. Amen? But you've never seen a man or a woman operate in power and revelation gifts ever like Jesus did. Can anybody think of one person? I know that you can't. I shouldn't even ask the question. There is no such person who operated in power and revelation gifts in the fullness of the anointing the way that Jesus did. Nobody could handle that kind of power. Amen? But Jesus, because Jesus was God. Amen? Now, tonight we're going to be talking about the gift of faith. The supernatural gift of faith. Amen? The supernatural gift of faith. The gift of faith, I'll slow down here for a moment, and I'll give you a definition, and then I'll take off running. Amen? Like I'm prone to do. The gift of faith is a supernatural power that comes only from the God of the Bible, first and foremost. It comes only from the God of the Bible. Amen? It is to protect and to provide during times of crisis, danger, or exceptional need. It is to protect and to provide during times of crisis, danger, or exceptional need. It's over and above the other kind of faiths that are taught in Scripture. It's the highest form of faith to operate in the earth. When the gift of faith is in operation, God does something for you. It's not something like the working of miracles. He allows a human being to perform a miracle. It's not like the gifts of healings, where the gifts of healings operate through a human being. When the gift of faith is in operation, it's God doing something for you. It's God providing protection or provision for you, and He often does it through angels. The gift of faith operates frequently through the ministry of angels. We see that in Scripture. I've seen it in my own life personally. I've seen all of the gifts of the Spirit in operation in my life, including the raising of the dead. I've witnessed it. I've seen all 9 gifts of the Spirit operate. I don't say that boastfully. I'm just saying that I'm not only speaking to you scripturally, I'm speaking to you experientially. It's not unusual. Many people have witnessed the raising of the dead. Many people have been used of God in the raising of the dead. And sometime I'll tell you about that. We may go there tonight, we may not. The gift of faith is when God uses an angel or even another human being on your behalf to protect you, to provide for you during times of crisis, danger, or exceptional need. And we'll look at some examples of that from the Bible. But before you do, before we do that, I would like you to go to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to show you that there are 2 other kinds of faith in the Bible that are not the gift of faith in operation. Amen? If you go to Ephesians chapter 2, the first kind of faith we're just going to look at, we can't spend a lot of time with it because we have some other scripture reading to do over in the Old Testament this evening. We're limited for time in these sessions. We're not in a hurry. We have plenty of time to get the job done tonight to do what the Holy Spirit's put on my heart to do. And we're going to start by showing you what the gift of faith is not. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, say amen if you're there. Say, oh my, if you need another second to get over there, we'll give it to you. Oh my, I heard an oh my. When you're there in Ephesians chapter 2, give me an amen. I'd like you to see it with me. Amen. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, God's electric power company, go eat popcorn, however you want to memorize it. Amen. I like that's a new one I heard recently, Sister Helen. God's electric power company. Amen. You're without excuse for not knowing where these 4 epistles are now. Go eat popcorn, God's electric power company. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That faith is not of yourself. It's not something you conjure up. It's something that's imparted to you supernaturally. It is the gift of God. This is what I call saving faith. This is not the gift of faith in operation. This is saving faith. How does faith come? Okay, how did you get saved? You heard the message of Jesus preached over and over, in some cases over and over and over and over and over, until saving faith came and you saw the need to confess Him as your Savior. You did so and you were saved. That's saving faith. And once that degree of faith that is imparted by hearing an evangelist or some person, one-on-one minister, Jesus, Savior, the only Savior of mankind to you, you acted on that. You acted on that faith that came to you and you were saved. And from that point on, you didn't need saving faith anymore. You didn't need saving faith anymore. Go to Romans chapter 12. So this saving faith, the gift of faith, is not saving faith. Saving faith is a gift of God that's imparted to you when you hear the message of Jesus, God's only Redeemer of mankind. Faith came to believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of mankind. You acted on it, and that faith saved you. That faith puts you back in union with the Spirit of God. And you don't need saving faith anymore after that. At the time that you acted on saving faith, you got saved, saving faith now falls to the side in what is imparted to you. You should know this. You do know this. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me, say amen if you're there, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. See, you knew it, you just didn't know you knew it. You forgot, you knew it. Amen? The moment you were saved, the measure of faith was imparted to you. Everybody gets the same measure of faith. I've had people say to me, Pastor, I wish I had the same faith you do. I say, you do. You have the same measure of faith that I have. It was imparted to you at the new birth, even as it was imparted to me at the new birth. Saving faith fell to the side. It did its job and saved you. You acted on it. And when you did, you went into union again. You were called back into union with the Spirit of God. He imparted to you the measure of faith. Now, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And what Paul meant by that was, now you take the measure of faith, and you can increase it, or you can decrease it. Isn't that right? When Peter stepped out of the boat, started to walk on the water, and then he began to sink, and Jesus grabbed him and saved him, he said, O thou of little faith. Amen? Didn't he say that to him? How about the centurion servant who said, Jesus, you don't need to go all the way out to my house to pray for my servant. Just do the job right here. My servant will be healed. And Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. Why did he say Peter had little faith and the centurion servant had great faith if we all get the measure of faith? If we all have the same measure of faith? Because Peter wasn't developing his faith and the centurion servant was. You can have little faith or you can have great faith. It's all up to you what you do with the measure of faith. We all start out at the new birth with the same measure of faith. Some people develop it and do explosive works for God. Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Oral Roberts. They spend time meditating in the Word of God, studying God's Word, and increasing that level of faith, the measure of faith, and did exploits. Other people just sit around, get saved, never grow in knowledge of God's Word, never increase the measure of faith, and never do explosive works for God. They just stick it out with little faith for the rest of their lives, and then they die and they go to heaven, and they stand before the Bema judgment seat of rewards, and they don't get the same rewards. They don't get the great rewards that people with great faith get. Does that make sense to you? So this saving faith, it gets you saved. And once you're saved, you don't need that anymore. And at the moment that you're saved, the moment of the new birth, everybody has imparted to them, not a measure of faith. You see that right in your Bible. It's the measure of faith. Some translations might say a measure of faith, but those are wrong translations. The original Greek says, at the new birth, we are all imparted the same measure of faith. What you do with this, your baby. Amen? But that's not the gift of faith. So there's saving faith, there's the measure of faith, and then there's the gift of faith. And we're going to look at the gift of faith right now. Amen? Hallelujah. The gift of faith is over and above saving faith. It's over and above the measure of faith. It's faith that brings into operation the powers of the world to come. By this gift, God works for you and not just through you. And frequently, when this gift is in operation, it's angels going to work on your behalf to provide for you supernaturally, to protect you supernaturally during times of crisis, danger, or extreme need. And when the gift of faith comes upon you, a supernatural calming comes upon you. It's soothing. It's calming. All anxiety leaves. all fear goes, and you're able to just rest and believe God's taking care of this for me, I don't have a care in the world. A supernatural calming comes when the gift of faith goes into operation. Acts chapter 12, if you would. We'll go through this. We're going to pick up a little bit of speed here now. Amen. Saving faith, the measure of faith, and the gift of faith. Can you see there's three different types mentioned in Scripture? Amen. Now, I asked you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Did I even read it when you get over there?
No.
Hallelujah. Well, let's do this real quick. You're going to Acts chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 9 says, oh, let's go ahead and read verse 8. I like to open with this. This is what I meant to do. For to one is given in verse 8, by the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. He is not an it, he's a person. He's a distributor of the gifts. For to one is given the word of wisdom. We'll cover that soon. To another the word of knowledge, that's coming too by the same Spirit. To another faith, by the same Spirit. This is the gift of faith. This is not saving faith. This is not the measure of faith. How do I know? Because it's listed right in the middle of the gifts of the Spirit. It's the gift of faith. Amen? Hallelujah. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Been there, done that. To another, the working of miracles. Been there, done that. We've covered that. To another, prophecy, another discerning of spirits, another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. You need to know that several of these gifts could go into operation in your life at any time. He distributes to every individual severally. Several is two or more. Some people would say it's three or more. Any two of these gifts could be manifest in your life at any given time as the Spirit of the Lord determines. Now, it just so happens that the office of the apostle and the office of the prophet operate more consistently in power in revelation gifts than the general believer. But the general believer can at any time just begin suddenly to find themselves operating in these gifts. Like Barbara found herself operating in the word of wisdom the other night through that dream that she shared. When the Lord showed her this room was full of people, the offering basket was filled to overflowing. And we were moving forward in the things of God. That's a word of wisdom. That's a supernatural revelation from the mind of God, having to do with people, places, or events, and always having to do with the future. We'll cover that later. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit here tonight. We're talking about the power gifts of the Spirit. We're talking about the gift of faith. And I want to show you right here the gift of faith in operation in the Apostle Peter's life in the New Testament. You're there in Acts chapter 12, are you not? Here's an example of the gift of faith providing supernatural protection for Peter. His life was in danger. There was such a calm on him. That old boy was sawing logs and he was supposed to be dead in the morning. But he was unmoved because the gift of faith came upon him. And as I said, the gift of faith, when it's in operation, can frequently be at the hand of an angel. Amen? I've had angelic visitation. I know what I'm talking about. Amen? I've seen the gift of faith operate through the ministry of angels in my own life. Amen? Here Peter was in prison for preaching the gospel. King Herod had decreed the removal of his head the next morning. And the supernatural gift of faith came upon Peter. He simply fell asleep the night before his scheduled execution. And God's angel went to work for him. Right here in verse 6 of Acts chapter 12. Say amen if you're there. And when Herod would have brought Peter forth, the same night he was sleeping between two soldiers. He's chained between the two of them. Out cold, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. There were two guys in there with him. He was chained to them, two guys outside the door, making sure that he didn't knock those two out and come out through that door. It was impossible for him to escape. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And look at this. His chains fell off from his hands. That's the gift of faith. That angel is operating in the gift of faith. Supernatural provision and protection. causing those chains to fall off his hands without touching them, the angel said to him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And so he did, and he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him. Peter followed him and wist not, didn't understand that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He was in such ecstasy over what was happening to him, he could hardly believe it. He was being supernaturally delivered through the operation of the gift of faith at the hand of an angel. Amen? You know, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This can happen for you if you need it. Amen? When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the... Look, they went right past God's soldiers who never even saw them. That's supernatural provision and protection. They came to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. That word accord is automatos. That door opened automatically without anything or anyone touching it. Amen? The gift of faith operating through that angel. Amen? Certainly it wasn't operating through Peter. Peter wasn't using his faith. He's sawing logs. He wasn't standing in faith, making faith declarations, believing God, praying in tongues, staying up all night, fasting and praying. This was the angel's faith. God was doing this for Peter through an angel. God still does these things. That's how I got delivered from alcohol and drug addiction. Amen. Through the ministry of angels. Amen. The gate opened of its own accord automatically. They went out, passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from Peter. And I'll tell you, I discovered that about angels. They're so businesslike. When they're through with business with you, they don't hang around for coffee. They don't chat. They're just gone. They just do that job, and they're gone. I've had 6 visitations of angels in my life. No monkey business. All serious business. They got something to say, they tell you, they're gone. They got something you need to see, they show you, they're gone. They have something they need to do for you, they do it, they're gone. But they're very respectful to the body of Christ. They're highly respectful to God's family. They're part of God's family, by the way, the Bible says. The angels of God are our brethren. John, in the book of Revelation, attempted to bow down and worship an angel. And the angel said, "Stand up and don't do that. I am a fellow servant such as yourself." They're in the same family. They're our brethren. And there are no female angels. And there are no fat, plump little baby angels in diapers flying around with bows and arrows. The Bible says they're all powerful men. Some of them are so beautiful, so handsome, they can appear to be a woman to the natural mind, but they're not women. They're men, the Bible says, all powerful men. There are no female angels. That's religion. That's tradition. Hallelujah. When Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Amen? Wow, that was the work. Then this is the working of miracles in conjunction with the gifts of healings right here, working together. When those chains fell off and those gates opened automatically, supernaturally, that's the working of miracles. Amen? In conjunction with the gift of faith. The gift of faith protected Peter over and above his own faith. God got him out there supernaturally. I told you before, the gifts of the Spirit are like the colors of the rainbow. Sometimes it's hard to separate the colors of the rainbow. It's hard to tell where the blue stops and the violet begins, or where the orange stops and the yellow begins, or vice versa. It's tough to tell. They operate together sometimes so closely, it's hard to separate them. But we do our best to separate them for teaching purposes. But you see right there, the gift of faith protecting Peter, and the working of miracles, working with the gift of faith through that angel, opening those doors supernaturally, automatically, and setting that man free, and nobody seeing him go out of there. That's the gift of faith, working with the working of miracles. Amen? Can you see that? God sent his angel to deliver Peter. He didn't have anything to do with it. He was sleeping. Amen? If you want to see how that gift operated in my life, you've heard about it before. We don't have time to go into it. You can go to my testimony on our website, johnhamelministries.org, H-A-M-E-L. And you can read the Albuquerque fire pit, and you find in there the visitation of the angel of the Lord that came to me and set me supernaturally free from alcohol and drug addiction. I fell under the power of God for nearly 3 full days. I didn't eat. I didn't dream. I didn't change positions. I didn't use the bathroom, the facilities. I do not believe I was breathing any more than Maria Woodworth Edda was not breathing when she stood in St. Louis, Missouri, in that tent for 3 days, frozen in place, and did not breathe, and 20,000 people filed by to look at her. 3 days later, she picked right up where she had frozen in her sermon and continued to preach. Picked up her message where she had left off. She stood there for 3 days. 20,000 people filed by her. They tried to pick her up off the floor. It was as if she was nailed to the floor. They couldn't move her. She didn't breathe. She didn't talk. She just stopped in the middle of her message, pointing with her mouth open, stood there for 3 days. It was a sign, a wonder. It was a miracle. And 3 days later, she picked right up where she left off on her sermon. All the St. Louis newspapers covered it. You can read it on the internet. She wasn't breathing. That's supernatural. I don't believe I was breathing for 3 days. Some people say, you're nuts. And I said, well, I might be a nut, but I'm a deliberate nut. I'm an alcohol-free nut. I'm a drug-free nut. Amen? I know what God did by that angel that came and visited me in that room that day. Amen? And I've been free ever since, preaching the gospel. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's go over here to 1 Kings chapter 17. The very same gift that operated for Peter and for me can operate for you as well. If this is the gift you need, this is the gift that will manifest for you. And the Lord told me to tell you, Helen, as you were leaving the other day, that this is a gift that will go into operation off and on through the course of the rest of your life. And He told me earlier this evening to tell you the same thing again. This is a gift that will go into operation off and on in your life throughout the rest of your life, according to His will, not yours. Did you hear that? Just because the Lord told me to tell Helen that doesn't mean it can't operate for you. He just told me to tell her that. Why? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. Amen? My job is to obey. Amen? Amen. My job is to utilize, not analyze. Amen? If you need this gift in operation, it will operate for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Helen, put that in your John Hamill file. Amen? 1 Kings 17. Hallelujah. This is an example of the gift of faith providing protection and provision that we're going to look at in the Old Testament. Amen? We can't spend a lot of time with it. This is from the life of Elijah. But you'll like this. You get anything out of this tonight? The gift of faith. It's over and above saving faith. It's over and above the measure of faith. Amen? It is the faith of God in operation for you on your behalf. Amen? It can go into manifestation at any time. If this is the gift you need, this is the gift that will operate for you. Paul said, covet the best gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, didn't he? What are the best gifts? Whichever gifts are needed most at the moment. Amen? If you need protection and provision, the gift of faith will go into operation for you. If you need protection and provision, you don't need a tongue and an interpretation. Amen? You need the gift of faith. That's the best gift that you could possibly have going to manifestation on your behalf at the time. That's the one that will. We are to covet the gifts now, Paul said. To eagerly yearn. Pray for the gifts now so they'll go into operation when you need them then. How do I pray for the gifts of the Spirit? Just do what Barbara does so many mornings. I hear her wake up and she just did it again yesterday morning. She just woke up and she said, oh, Father, thank you for the gifts of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Just like that. Just like that. Just like that. Amen? Just thank Him for the gifts. Back it up in other tongues. Oh, God, thank you for the power gifts and the revelation and the utterance gifts in operation, not only in my life when I need them, God, but in your body's life, in Jesus' name, in the lives of your body. Worldwide, Father, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you that the same gifts that operated through His ministry still operate in this earth according to your will. Thank you, God. Oh, we just like to thank God for things ahead of time. Amen? We like to just give praise to God. Amen. It takes faith to do that. To thank Him for the gifts before they go into operation. And that'll cause God to jump over a million others just to get to you because you're operating in faith concerning the gifts of the Spirit before you even see Him operate. And the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. Want to please God? Start thanking Him for the gifts of the Spirit operating in your individual life and in His body worldwide. You'll start seeing them. Amen? People don't see the gifts in operation because they don't obey what Paul said by the Holy Spirit. He said, covet the gifts. Covet the gifts. That word covet means earnestly desire, eagerly yearn. Thank God for them. You really want to see them and operate? In operation, you'll begin to thank God for them and you will see them in Jesus' name. Amen. We don't do it every day, but we do it frequently. Amen? Hallelujah. Over here, 1 Kings chapter 17, an example of the gift of faith providing provision and protection for Elijah the Tishbite, the prophet Elijah. It says in verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, everybody there, said unto Ahab, now Ahab was a wicked king. He led Israel into idol worship and sexual sin and refused to repent. So Elijah prayed a curse on him so he would repent. He said unto wicked King Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word, he said, unless I say so. See, that's a word of wisdom, similar to what Barbara had in her dream. It speaks of the future. Whether it's 1 minute into the future, 1 year into the future. If it has to do with the future, it's a word of wisdom. Amen? Here's a word of wisdom. He says, it's not going to rain anymore till I say so. And the word of the Lord came unto him now. Elijah saying, now you get yourself hence and turn thee eastward. See, we're going into a dry spell. And hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan River. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. That's a little brook that drained into the Jordan River. And I have commanded, God's telling Elijah now, the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and he did according to the word of the Lord, after decreeing drought. He went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and fish in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. I said fish, I meant flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. That's supernatural. Ravens are amongst the most unintelligent birds in existence. They are amongst the most fearful of human beings. You ever try to walk up to a black crow or a raven? They'll just get right away from you. They don't let people near them. And they don't work well with others. They don't share their food. Amen? They're birds of carrion. They eat other dead animals. And if you try to get near their food, they'll run you off. They'll peck you with their big old beak. Amen? And here, they're sharing food with Elijah and going right up to him and delivering it to him. 2 times a day. Flesh and bread. Where are they getting it? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. Why aren't they eating it? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. God's moving on them. This is better than Domino's for him. Amen? Domino's delivers. That's supernatural. That is supernatural provision. God moving on Elijah's behalf. Amen? We have to go through this. Amen? It came to pass, verse 7, after a while, the brook dried up, just like Elijah said it would to King Ahab, and God had to provide for him another way. There had been no rain in the land, just like he decreed. That word of wisdom came to pass. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded not a raven this time, not ravens, but a widow woman there to sustain you, or to help you. So he arose, and he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, just like God said, amen, just like he said she would be, gathering sticks, and he called to her, and he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. He knew what he was doing here, by the way. He's not trying to get something into his pocket. He's trying to get something into her purse. He's trying to get her into faith for a miracle. You'll see this here, amen. Fetch me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I don't have a cake. All I have is a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks for the fire, that I may go in and dress my oil and meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. She was at the end of herself. That's all she had left. And Elijah said to her, fear not. How many times when somebody needed something from Jesus did he open his mouth and say, fear not. Just don't get into fear here. Stay in faith. Stay with me now. Stay in faith. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, if you'll do as I'm saying, is what's happening here, the barrel of meal shall not waste. He said to her, if you'll put me first, your barrel of meal will not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went. She got into faith. She stayed out of fear. She did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And look at this, which you lo and behold, the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. He said it would not fail until it rained. And James said in James chapter 5, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. That cruse of oil and that barrel of meal did not run empty for 3.5 years because she gave of her little cake and her little water to the prophet of God when he moved to get her in faith. That was the gift of faith, providing for her and her son, protecting them, keeping them alive in a famine, supernaturally. God did that for her, not through an angel, through a man, through the prophet. You see, that's the gift of faith and the working of miracles in conjunction with one another, because God had to suspend the laws of nature and cause that barrel to stay full no matter how many times she went in there with her cup and emptied it. He'd just replace it. Can you see that? That's the gift of faith. If this is the gift you need to go into operation for you, it will. It will. It will. It will. There's a supernatural calming when this comes on you. I've watched Barbara operate in the gift of faith. In times of extreme crisis and danger and great need in our lives, just the calming will come upon her, and she's just able to believe when I'm wanting to go back and just gnaw my fingernails off. Amen? And I've just had to say, Lord, I agree with her. I don't have faith for this right now. But I agree with what's happening in her. You said if two or more agree is touching anything on earth, I agree with her. I don't have that supernatural common at this moment. That gift's not on me right now, but it's on her. I agree with her. And God has used that to pull us through at times. Is that true? Supernaturally, that's one of the gifts that operates in Barbara's life. Occasionally, as the Spirit wills. But she can't turn it on and off at will. You can't turn it on and off at will. Helen, Barbara, you can't turn it off and on at will. Beverly, you can't turn it off and on at will. It's as the Spirit wills. If you need it, it will come upon you. Don't worry about it. If you need it, it'll be there. You don't have to conjure it up. It comes upon you supernaturally, and God does it for you. But in the meantime, develop the measure of faith. Don't sit back waiting for the gift of faith to go on operation to meet your needs. What if it doesn't? You can get your needs met by developing the measure of faith. Amen? The measure of faith, if you have a financial need, go look at some financial scripture. Read it to yourself softly over and over. Faith comes. Financial faith comes for that financial need to be met by the measure of faith. And you just release that faith through the words of your mouth, and God moves on your behalf through the measure of faith. You see what I'm trying to say? It's just like healing. Build your faith for healing and go immediately into the recovery process. Don't wait for the gifts of healings. What if they don't go into operation? Use the measure of faith for the promises that are in God's Word. Meditate on the promises. And the measure of faith increases, and those promises become come into manifestation in your life. But don't wait around for the gift of faith to go into operation. What if it doesn't? Amen? In the meantime, you can be getting the job done by meditating on Scripture and developing the measure of faith. Woo! I'm going kind of quick here tonight, but you're getting it, aren't you? Yes. Hallelujah. This is good stuff. Go over there to Mark chapter 5. I want to just show you. In closing tonight, I want to just show you, because this is our final lesson on the power gifts. This will only take a couple of minutes. We're just going to read through this together, Mark chapter 5. I want to show you, now we've covered the working of miracles, haven't we? We've covered the gifts of healings, haven't we? We've now covered the gift of faith. You understand what it is. It's supernatural provision and protection during times of extreme crisis, danger, or need. And this is when God moves and does something for you, over and above the use of your own faith. Amen? And we're not, I want to say it again, I'm encouraging you, develop your own faith. Don't just sit around hoping the gift of faith is going to go into operation when you have a need. It might not. Develop your own faith. Amen? So that you keep yourself out of trouble. And if you happen to get into some sort of a crisis, whether it's your own fault or through no fault of your own, if God determines that this is the gift you need to get you out, this is the gift that will move to get you out. And you will know it when it comes, because a supernatural calming will come upon you and you can know, man, I should be screaming and pulling my hair out and I'm just as calm as... Calm as? You've experienced that. You just know that you know that you know God's going to do this for me. Now, in order to raise the dead, all three of the power gifts have to go into operation. And we're going to look at this over here in Mark chapter 5, if you would, real quick with me, please. And we're going to close with this. Amen? I have seen this happen in my own life and in my own ministry. Well then, Pastor John, if you saw that, how come you're not on Christian TV and the whole world doesn't know about it? Listen, the raising of the dead happens more than people even realize. Amen? Most people don't get to experience the working of miracles, the gifts of healings, and the gift of faith because they don't believe in it to begin with. Amen? That grieves the Spirit of God. He's not going to come around your house knocking on your door with a miracle if you don't believe in them. He's going to honor your free will and He's just going to avoid you with miracles. If you don't believe in them, you're not going to see them. I believe in them. I've seen them. Amen. I expect to see them. I don't know why the Lord allowed me to participate in the raising of a dead man in Norman, Oklahoma. And nobody knows about it but a handful of people and the people that I get to tell when He moves on me to do it. But I do know that the raising of the dead is more common than people realize. And it's going to become even more common in the revival that's presently escalating in the earth right now. It's not going to be an unusual, uncommon thing at all. Not to hear of it, but to see it, to witness it. Like the man under Reinhard Bonnke's ministry. He's already in the mortuary, already embalmed. They took that dead stiff into church. He's dead 5 or 6 days with his death certificate, already embalmed. Put him in the basement of the church Reinhard Bonnke was preaching in. Brother Bonnke didn't even know they had done that. They went into the mortuary and they carried him to the church in a casket in Africa, stuck him in the basement of the church, and he began coming to life as Brother Bonnke was upstairs preaching just above him. He was embalmed. There was no blood in his body. And not only that, there was a man videotaping it. You can get the tape from Reinhard Bonnke's ministry and watch the man who is dead come alive as everybody moves to massage him because his body started to fill with blood and they had to massage him and get the embalming fluid out of his veins. You can watch it on video. Do you believe that? If you don't believe it, you'll probably never see something like that happen. But if you do believe, if your heart's open to it, you'll see it. We are about to see the greatest outpouring, the greatest revival of the gifts of the Spirit that there's ever been. I say this all the time, in any other time in all of human history. Even greater than when Jesus walked on the earth. Because when Jesus walked on the earth, if you needed the kind of miracles we're talking about here and reading about in the Bible, you had to go find Him or one of the 12 disciples. Not anymore. All you're going to have to do in this revival is find a believer. And by the way, this revival that's coming into the earth, this greater than all other revivals that have ever come into the church, the focus is not going to be on God's man of the hour, some big, huge evangelist. It's going to be in the local church with local pastors. This is what local churches and local pastors and their congregations ought to be operating in all the time, and they're going to be. The emphasis will be in the local church, not the traveling evangelists. Traveling evangelists are good. They're good. But this revival that's coming, this revival of the power, revelation and utterance gifts is going to come through the local church. Woo! That's what Barbara saw in her dream. God was telling her, just hold steady. Stay the course. It's a coming. Amen? Okay, over here. Mark chapter 5, real quick. Hallelujah. Verse 21. Pick it up with me. I know you need to go to work in the morning. Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side. Much people gathered unto him. He was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at Jesus' feet. You need a miracle? Get to his feet. And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And then he got interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood. We don't have time to read after her tonight. So jump over here to verse 35, if you would. While he yet spoke to the woman with the issue of blood, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who had just asked Jesus to come and pray for his daughter, there came from his house certain which said, Your daughter's dead. I hate that word. Why troublest thou the master any further? And Jesus, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, that she was dead, he said to the ruler, Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Don't listen to that report. Stay in faith. Only believe. You know what he's telling him? Watch what you say. Watch what you say. He suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, because those three had faith for this, the others didn't. He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. He saw the tumult, everybody wailing, them that wept and wailed greatly. They were professional mourners. The girl is, as far as that concerned, she's dead. In the natural, she was. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And the morning turned to mockery. They laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he'd get the unbelief out of the room. He took the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, entered in where the damsel was lying, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment, as you are going to be in this revival that's coming into your lives. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. The crowds are just getting too big. He couldn't handle it. He said, don't be telling folks what you're seeing here anymore. Amen. The crowds were getting too unmanageable for him. And he commanded that something should be given her to eat. Amen. The supernatural was over. He raised her from the dead. And now she had to continue her existence by natural means. Amen. Amen. Now this is the three power gifts in operation when Jesus rose this child from the dead. The gift of faith was in operation. It was a supernatural ability for Jesus to believe, to stay calm, and to believe that God was going to intervene in this situation for this family. Amen? The working of miracles was in operation as well, because the laws of nature were suspended, and he called her spirit back into her body. The silver cord of Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7 that we talked about on Sunday morning had been cut. Her spirit left her body. Her body was dead. And Jesus, through the working of miracles, called her spirit back into her body, and that severed cord, that severed spiritual umbilical cord, was reconnected. And number three, the gifts of healings had to go into operation to heal her of whatever killed her so she wouldn't die again. Can you see all three power gifts in operation for the raising of the dead? He had to be able to believe it. The laws of nature had to be suspended so he could call her spirit back into her body. And then the gifts of healings had to heal her supernaturally so she wouldn't croak again. Amen? So you see how the power gifts are. You see what they are. You see how they can operate together. Amen? Sometimes it's hard to separate them and discern what one's doing what. But basically, you understand the power gifts now. Amen? Now you can read through your Bible. When you see a miracle, you see a healing, you see something supernatural in manifestation, you can discern for yourself what of those gifts are in operation. What one or more of those gifts. I'm in operation. Stand up if you would, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the power gifts, Father. Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We believe, God. We're believers. Father, we covet the gifts. Let's just say that. Say, I covet the gifts. I covet the gifts of the Spirit. Father, we earnestly desire. We long to see these gifts in operation, not only in our own lives, yes, in our own lives, God, but also in the body, in the earth, Father, because that's what you want, Father. Your will is our will, God. Lord, we covet the gifts. We thank. Just like when Barbara wakes up in the morning and she throws that sheet off her face and she says, oh, God, thank you for the gifts of the Spirit in operation in the earth. Thank you for the best gifts according to your will in Jesus' name. And then she gets up and she goes about and does her business. But she thanks the Lord. I do the same thing from time to time. Other times we spend intense times in prayer, praying for the gifts of the Spirit. Do however the Lord leads you, but covet the gifts. Covet the gifts. The reason we're not seeing these gifts in operation the way God wants them to operate is because we don't covet them. We don't take the time to thank Him for them. By faith, God, we thank you, thank you, thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. We thank you that you are God and you change not, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
And I believe.
And I believe.
That's what believers do.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
And I believe.
And I believe. Fish swim.
Birds fly.
And believers believe.
And believers.
I believe in the gifts of the Spirit.
I receive the gifts of the Spirit.
I covet the gifts of the Spirit for myself and for others in Jesus' strong name. Hallelujah.